Grace to you, in the name of our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone. We don't live by bread alone. But rather, as the rest of the passage of Scripture that Jesus quotes says, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every single one. Food and the Word of God. The two greatest things on the planet, truly, the stuff of life and death. When Jesus says to Satan that man shall not live by bread alone, he's in the wilderness, as you heard, where he's been fasting, not for 1 or 2 days, but for 40 days and 40 nights. Needless to say, although Scripture does tell us, he was hungry. Yeah? No Snickers bars in those days to feed the hunger. He had to do with the Word of God, which is always better. The stage is set for Jesus' first temptation. Then the tempter, knowing that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, like all your mothers used to tell you, ladies, right? Said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And that's what prompts our Lord's words. Words that both state the truth and demonstrate how the truth is lived out. Jesus is quoting Scripture. He knows his Bible. It's part of him. He knows what God has said. At this point, that crafty devil must have turned away from Jesus for a moment to kind of scratch his head and readjust his plan. I guess maybe instead of bread from stones, I should have went with fruit and the temptation to be like God. After all that worked when I did it with Adam and Eve, they fell for my temptation. You can imagine a light bulb going off in Satan's mind because he then tries to tempt Jesus with kingdoms, authority, glory, and the service of angels, you know. The being like God type stuff. Isn't that what he tricked Adam and Eve with? You can be like God. But to the devil's detriment and to our great benefit, Jesus, the second Adam, proved to be perfectly obedient and not so easily enticed as the first Adam. Not by food, nor by the thought of being like God. As Philippians 2 says, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus' words, "Man shall not live by bread alone," come from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where the word of God is given to Israel. Here's the passage with some context. "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and then fed you with manna, which you didn't know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years in the wilderness. Know then, in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, and you shall eat and be full. And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. The Israelites faced great temptation in the wilderness as they were led by God to the promised land. In the wilderness, they learned to trust Yahweh, their God, to rely on Him to keep them alive. They learned to repent of their sin and to have faith in God. That's why Jesus used this verse. This is the lesson God's people are always learning, even us today. He spoke of the faithfulness of God. Though he was hungry, he didn't need to turn stones into bread. He knew he was being led by the Holy Spirit and that God was taking care of him. He knew that he lived by the word, every word that comes from God's mouth. So now consider yourself. We're sinners, just like the Israelites. And just like them, we make our way through a wilderness on our journey to the promised land that Jesus has gone to prepare for us, heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus taught and Jesus showed us how we don't live by bread alone, but that we're given life by the word of God. Truly, we're sinners. So when we hear Scripture, when we hear things like this in Scripture, man shall not live by the bread alone, we instantly dismiss it, right? Because we go 3-4 hours and our stomachs are grumbling. Of course, yeah, that's a metaphor, right? That's nice language. We rationalize it away because our stomachs do grumble. We couldn't fast a weekend, let alone 40 days. But this is real. This isn't a metaphor. If we apply the rules of reading Scripture, we see that Jesus literally fasted for 40 days. And he was still willing to live by the word of God. Because that's how you live. We do truly, all of us truly live on more than just bread. I know you're thinking, yeah, pizza, hamburgers. No. We live on more than just food. It wasn't food that got Jesus through the confrontation with Satan in the wilderness. It wasn't food that got Israel through their confrontation with sin in the wilderness. It was the promise of salvation. It was God's word. It was God's faithfulness. His feeding them. Manna, right? A food unknown to man. For us, we receive that manna on the altar. A food that man cannot comprehend. It is bread and the word of God, in with and under, together, that enables man to live. Bread alone is death. Bread and the word together, that's life. True life, eternal life, life without sin, life without an end, life without death. It is a reality. Those who rely on bread while rejecting the word of God, their end is destruction, we're told. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Philippians 3:19. All they can perceive of is the here and now, the earthly things. We Christians don't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. comes from his mouth. Think about it for yourself. Think about it. You're living in a wilderness, in a world steeped in sin. Yours, your neighbors, everyone's. A harsh climate where true life-giving food is rare. Earthly bread, sure. Sustenance for this life, this body, sure. You can get that anywhere. But what good is that if that's all you have? You can eat the healthiest of foods, but your body will still someday die. Then what? Man shall not live by bread alone. True life is more than the concerns of the stomach. What is worship? What is this right now, if not our being fed in the midst of the wilderness, fed with the Word of God? The Christian church is the new Israel. And God is providing us with the same love and care recorded in Deuteronomy. The same love and care he's always given his people. He doesn't change. God is unchanging. So the same way he dealt with them, he's still dealing with us. The same love and care he demonstrated that he trusted in God. That same example that Jesus had in the wilderness with temptation. It's all right now for us too. We come here where we're fed with food from heaven. The Word of God. Here, in our baptism, we trust. We're clothed with the robe of righteousness. Clothing that doesn't fall apart. Just like that reading about Israel in Deuteronomy. Christ can't wear out. Ever. Israel was on their way to an earthly promised land. We're on our way to a heavenly promised land. A new creation. A new heavens and a new earth. That's what we're doing here today, isn't it? We're being given life. You come not to do anything, but to receive. You come to sit and to be passive and just receive food. Receive strength. Amen, brother. I don't know what he's saying, but I agree with him. We're being forgiven of our sins when we come here. We're forgiven all the time, but it's good to hear it. It's good to hear the word that comes from the Lord's mouth. We're being taught to trust God instead of ourselves and to be fed with what he gives. Not with what we want, but with what's good for us. He gives to us what he knows we need. Some of you have heard me talk about it like this. You know, kids like chocolate. They like candy. If they could have their way, they would eat chocolate for every meal, every day. And they wouldn't live very long. They would develop diabetes and rot out their teeth and have all kinds of health problems if that's all they ate. And so mom and dad say, eat your green beans. Eat your cauliflower. Eat your vegetables. They're good for you. Right? That's what we're dealing with here. We want to eat the sweets. We come here because we know Dad knows best. And he wants to give us Brussels sprouts, even if we think they're gross. We know they're good for us. We're being led by the Holy Spirit, who's forming us into holy people, setting us apart. And being set apart looks a certain way. It looks heavenly, though still tainted by sin. And that's what the divine service is. That's what worship is. God is feeding you in the midst of the wilderness. That's why we're here. Right now, God's feeding you. He's nourishing you. He's giving you what you need to have faith in him and to make it through the wilderness back home. Because you cannot live, truly live, have eternal life by bread alone, by what the world provides. We need and we have what God provides. Forgiveness of our sins in the Word made flesh, Christ. the incarnate God, who died for us and gave his body so that we would feast and live. When Israel was given manna to eat, they didn't know what it was because it was heavenly. It's the same with communion. The word of God is foreign to us. It's the same with the gospel. It's a foreign language. We don't get it. A free lunch? Dad always taught me there was no such thing. Well, Abba says there is, and it's found in Christ. Free lunches for the rest of your life. It's called the Eucharist. Give thanks. Man before God gives him faith, before God gives us strength, looks at the Lord's Supper as foolishness. But you and I know it is the very bread of life. It is the economy of God right there. The very way he has established to get you through this hellhole called earth. That's what it is. It's broken. It's sinful. It won't be forever, but it is right now. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. By Christ Jesus who serves us, who feeds us with his heavenly, holy body, and who has forgiven us all of our sins and has given us life that we may truly live. That is true, and so we say, Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.